So we were in the Gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, near the bottom of the page, and the statement that we're about to encounter here has absolutely nothing to do with the Sugya. It has nothing to do with brachos per se. It's only here because it's one of a series of things that Rabbi Elazar said in the name of Rabbi Yosef Bar Zimra. And we've been quoting lots of Rabbi Elazar's here, and maybe even Rabbi Elazar in the name of, not all of them in the name of Rabbi Yosef and Zimra, but because we're quoting Agadic statements of Rabbi Elazar, this statement is quoted here, which then creates its own interesting thing. So, if you look at five lines from the bottom, the Amar Rabbi Elazar Mishum Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra, Ko HaYoshev B'tanis B'Shabbos, Kolin Lo Gzardino Shoshevim Shana. If someone fasts on Shabbos, even if he has had a decree from heaven that he would suffer, be punished, for 70 years, they will tear up that Gzera. I think we encountered similar language by someone who answers Yeheshve Rabba Mavarach with all his or her might. So here, it's an expression. Even a Gzardin Shoshevim Shana. I imagine, actually, that it might be, I never thought about it until now, but it might be because if a human lifespan is typically supposed to be said to be 70 years, so it means even a lifetime of misery that has been declared upon a person can be annulled by doing this. If he fasts on Shabbos.
Meaning it's a good thing.
It's a good thing, yes, absolutely. So why? So Rashi explains, because it's very hard to fast on Shabbos. Everybody else is eating cholent and kugel, and you're there, you go to the shul kiddush to socialize afterwards, and you can't eat anything. That's really hard. So deprivation, to some extent, is relative. Not always, but... So that's why it's very hard. And so out of that side, that a person is fasting for spiritual reasons, so the Gzardim will be torn up. But the Afal Pikein, says the Gemara, Chozrin v'nifraim imenu dinorei Shabbos, but the person will still be punished because they... Murmavato, they did not properly fulfill the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos because they fasted. Zemaita kante, says the Gemara. Amar of Nachman bar Yitzcha, Lesav Tanisa the Tanisa. You know how you fix it? You fast again, another fast, Tininisakin, to fix the fact that you fasted on Shabbos. Okay. Why is the person fasting? Gemara doesn't say. You wake up, you know, come one Friday night, and you decide, you know, I feel like fasting the Shabbos. Right? No clue as to what. The Rabbeinu Chananel is quoted by Tosos. If you look the bottom Tosos on our page, even though you got to look up, Kala Yoshev B'Tanis B'Shabbos, Perish Rabbeinu Chananel B'Tanis Chalom. When you fast after you have a bad dream, V'Chei Isa B'Medrash Tehillim. And similarly is found in the Medrash Tilim. I believe we don't actually have this source. No one has been able to locate it. Uchshiyoshe b'tanis chalom b'shabes. Perush bal halachos gedolo she'omer anenu b'lokai nitzor. Va'afilu koveya bracha le'atzmo kemen she'eno b'tofit ches.
That last line is very hard to understand what it means. But the bottom line, for the moment, we may come back and talk about that. The bottom line is you say anenu. You're fasting on Shabbos, so you say Anenu. In fact, theoretically, you could have eaten Friday night, because a fast that you makabal upon yourself, typically, when you accept a voluntary fast, you're supposed to, in order for it to be binding and meaningful, you have to accept it upon yourself at Mincha the previous day. If you look in the Siddurim, what you'll find, if you look at Mincha in the standard Siddur, there are two like Yichibat zones that are printed at the end, right by Elokai Nitzor, usually on the bottom of the page. One of them, which I say on a fast day, it's Gemara, I think it might be in the second paragraph of Brachos, or one of all those tefillos that we read, is a tefillah that you recite on a fast day, which says, I fasted today, God, and I have been thereby reduced the amount of blood and fat in my body, and it should be considered as if I brought that as a karban. That's one Yiratzon. That's the only one I ever say or ever said. And then there's another Yiratzon. If you're accepting upon yourself to fast the next day, you have to accept it, you know, the previous day. Mincha time is the logical time to do it. If you don't accept it, if you're not makabel a tainus upon yourself, then you can fast the next day, but it doesn't fulfill, there's no idea of fasting there, there's no aninu there. In other words, if you have a legitimate fast that you have accepted upon yourself, you would say aninu privately. We would say it in Shema Kolenu. But if you fail to accept it the day before, so it's not a meaningful fast.
If you've taken a neder, probably to fast X days, and you can pick which days you want, so you have, in order to be called a fast, as opposed to something you just didn't bother to eat that day, it has to be accepted upon yourself the previous mincha. So
if you accept the fast upon yourself, so you say, I made him go
in Shomei Tfilah. Yeah. So here, the problem, of course, is Shabbos. You don't say Shomei Tfilah on Shabbos, so where exactly you're going to put your Aneinu. So either say it on the kind of tzar, or there seems to be another tradition here, but I think it's Shulchan Aruch, it probably says that you say it in Aneinu. Okay, so Tosus here, quoting Rabbeinu Hananel, and many Rishonim say this way, claims that this is the fast that we're talking about, that is a wonderful thing on Shabbos, and nonetheless necessitates fasting again as a kapara, is a tainus chalom. Now, Gemara doesn't say what the fast is about. That's what Rabbeinu Hananel adds in. Why does Rabbeinu Hananel, where did Rabbeinu Hananel get this from? So, if you take a look at the Gemara and Shabbos, I want to look at two Gemaras here. They're almost identical. They're out of order. But on the source sheet, it's the first two sources. It says the following. V'amar Rava bar Machasya, Amar Rav Chama bar Guya, Amar Rav. And incidentally, what is this Gemara? Why is this Gemara there in Shabbos? It's not because it's fasting on Shabbos. It's there because it's a series of statements of Rava bar Machasya, Amar Rav Chama bar Guya, Amar Rav. So, Yofa Tanis Lachalom, I think so, I'm pretty sure, Ke'eshlina Ores. A fast for a bad dream is like fire to an Ores, is like kindling stuff. It's like stuff that burns very easily. An Ores Shel Pishtan, the little stuff that falls out of the flax. I mean, it burns rapidly and consumes it and destroys it. And this is a good thing. It means... maybe, I don't know if it means it destroys the bad dream or something, it gets rid of the effects of the bad dream. So, Yafat Tanis Lachalom Keshul and Oris. Amar Chista. And Chista says, Ubo Bayom. And that day. Now, I don't know what you do in terms of accepting kindness upon yourself, because obviously, if you have to do it that day, you can't accept it upon yourself the previous day. But it may be that a Tanis Chalom is different. Tanis Chalom is not taken, is never used to fulfill someone else's vow. But be as it may, if it's, I don't know how exactly that works, Bo Bayom. If you didn't accept the previous mincha. But anyway, V'amar Rabbi Yosef, afilu b'Shabbos, even if that day that you're fasting is Shabbos, Friday night, you have a terrible dream. And so you get up, and you realize that, and you choose to fast. Rabbi Yoshua b'Reid of Rabbi Idi, Ikla de Rav Ashi, Yoshua b'Reid of Idi, visited the house of Rav Ashi, in Hainis, it's Rav Asi, Avad le Igla Tilsa. They made him a very fancy calf, and Igla Tilsa is... Literally, it's either a calf in its third year. It's a very, very fancy meal. So Amrulay, they said to him, Litomar Midi, why don't you have something to eat? So Amr Lahu, Bitanis Yosevna. I'm fasting today. Amrulay, Velo Savale Mar Lahad Rabbi Yehuda, the Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Lova Adam Tanisa Uporea. You know, you could choose to not fast today, and you could choose to do a makeup. And originally, you were going to fast today. But you know, you come here, and we're serving you filet mignon. Say, you know what? Say, you know what? You know, it's like, it's a little like, you know, a person goes on a diet, and they come to their friend's house, and they're serving whatever it is, you know, whatever that you is your food that you love more than anything else that you shouldn't be eating. So what do? Well, the answer is, you sit down, and you join them, and the diet starts tomorrow. That's the way it is. So here, okay, so you'll fast a different day. You'll make fast a different day. That's why I said to them, Lava Adam Taniso Perea. That statement, by the way, is the context in which it appears in Tainus. That's where in Tainus it's really the idea that you can pay back a Tainus, a personal Tainus. So Amar Lahu, he said, Tainus Chalomu. No, I can't. It wouldn't be productive for me to pay this Tainus back, to take the day off pay back, because it's a Tainus Chalom. And as we just said, Amar Machasi, Amar Chal Bargui, Amar Rav, Yofet Tainus Lachalom Keishlon Ores, Amar Chistev Obayom, Amar Yosef Afilu B'Shavis. So here is one place you have in Shas where the Gemara is talking about fasting on Shabbos, and it's a tainus chalom. Now, Rabbeinu Hananel has done, in effect, and we'll talk about why in a moment when we look at the Gemara in tainus, is he has effectively joined these two Gemaras. He's assumed that when the Gemara in Brachos talks about how wonderful it is to fast on Shabbos, except that you have to do kapara for missing Oneg Shabbos, he's assuming that, of course, the only reason you'd really be fasting on Shabbos would be the Gemara in Shabbos talks about, which is a Tanis Chalom.
So he kind of puts two and two together, even though it's not clear that you're supposed to put two and two together. They're just two Gemaras that talk about it. But what probably triggers Rabbeinu Hananel, and this is a question of whether this line exists in the Gemara, is when you go to the parallel Gemara to Shabbos in the Seches Tainus. So the story begins there the same. Rabbi Shur Bereid, Rav Idi, Ikla Biravasi, Avadu Le Iglatilsa, they made him a filet mignon, Amar Lidla Tamar Midi, they said, why don't you have something? Have some. Amar Lo B'tanei Sayasivna, Amru Le Velozif Mar Velifra, here it's in, here, you get the nice Aramaic. Lozif means to lend in Aramaic, and Lifra, you pay it back another time. Lo savar mar lahadam amhidam arab, lova adam tanisa upareya, so amar lahem tanis chalomhu, va amar lachasa amar cham bar guri marab, yofa tanis lachalom keishal ores, va amar chista bo bayom, bar mayor safila b'shabas. So that was the answer. Now the Gemara says, my takante, lisev tanis latanisa. Which was exactly what the Gemara in Bracha said. That line is not in Shabbos. But this line suggests that by a tanis chalom, you have to make another tanis to make up. You have to fast again to make up for the fact that you fasted on Shabbos.
I say you do that second fast on Shabbos. You do that second fast on Shabbos.
That's an endless loop.
It's an endless loop.
So the real actual question is the machlokas arishonim, whether you're supposed to fast it on Sunday. The Rashba and the Shulchan Aruch sound the next day.
But if you could set a Shabbos mincha or tanis and you don't do it. Is it sinful in some way?
So I think that's what Lova Adam Tanisa Pareh means.
That you said that I'm
designated tomorrow as a day that I'm going to fast for whatever reason. And if I discover tomorrow that just doesn't work, I owe the fast, but I can pay it back another day. Right. It's not taken as a neder that I must fast tomorrow. It's a neder that I'm going to fast. I'm designating tomorrow right now as the fast. If Sunday comes up, we'll work it out.
But what do we think today about the notion that a dream portends, evil for us and it needs a cure?
Do you see the Ritva? That's why I put it there. I figured I was looking for something in the Ritva, and then I saw the Ritva had a very long discussion, and I imagine the question would come up. If you hadn't asked it, and if Marshall were here, he would have asked the question. What is this business? So I do want to talk about it. It's also going to be a Gemara Brachos topic, because it's going to be kind of interesting, God willing, when we get to the ninth parak of Brachos, where there's a whole section, several blocks of dreams and things to do for dreams, and the pasuk to recite as soon as you wake up from a bad dream, or you hear a word, you want to get the right pasuk, not the wrong pasuk. So I thought, looking at the Ritva here, we would talk about that a bit. Before we go there, so I just want to discuss sort of what the possibilities are. And the Ritva himself will say this in the middle, but one shita in Rishonim, which is the Rashba and Tosos, quoting Rabbeinu Hananel, is that essentially these two Gemaras are to be read together. That even a tiny shalom, you're not really, you fast on Shabbos, but it's an aveir on Shabbos, and therefore you have to make it up by fasting again. The other position that we've shown them is that no, is that this Gemara here is talking about only fasting because you want to do tshuva for whatever reason, you went to the shul kiddush, and you were about to eat, and then, forgetting about the fact that you should have accepted it before, but you realize you looked how much Lashon Hara was being spoken, and you said, look, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to talk Lashon Hara, this is terrible, what kind of a person am I? I need to fast, I need to do tshuva. So there, it's a mitzvah, but it's an aveira, you have to fast again. Tainis Chalom, in effect, you're mechuyev to fast. Really, you're supposed to fast, and that day, and even Shabbos, you don't have to make up that fast with another fast. It's like if Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, we don't say Leisef Tainis Latanisa. Now, I don't mean to compare Tainis Chalom to Yom Kippur. I understand that there's a vast difference between the two, but nonetheless, the idea that if I'm really mechuyev to fast for the Tainis Chalom, Bobayom, why should I have to fast to make up for that? So Rabbeinu Hananel would say, because he might say, to borrow a little bit from the thought here, is that the fact that you had a bad dream was a siman l'shamayim, that you're a chote and you need to do tshuva, so fine, you'll fast on Shabbos and you'll fast again, it's just part of the tshuva process. But the Ritva here says no. The Ritva assumes that the Gemara in Brachos is talking about a regular, any other fast. The Gemara in Shabbos and Tainis is talking about a Tainis Chalom. Now there's of course one problem, David is scratching his head, yeah, but the Gemara in Tainis says that talking about Tainis Chalom, and it says, Leisef Tainis Lutanisa. So obviously, one of the things you see from the Ritva, and I didn't check with my own eyes, firstly, that line is not in the Gemara and Shabbos, and in the footnotes they said that it's not in Savya Munich either. I didn't check all the Kisveyat. But the Ritva obviously did not have that last line in his Gemara, which is why he wasn't forced to link the Gemara and Tainus, the Tainus Chalom, which is, again, Shabbos and Tainus are the same. I mean, stuff is not presented in the same order because the trigger in each sugya is different, but it's all the same pieces in the sugya in Shabbos and Tainus, except for Shabbos doesn't have that last line, and neither does through some of the Rishonim, nor at least the one manuscript that I so referred to, do not have that line in Tainus, and therefore there's nothing to connect. There's nothing to suggest that a Tainus Halom requires a tikkun of another Tainus, as opposed to the Gemara in Brachos, which says a Tainus on Shabbos, it doesn't specify what, requires another Tainus, so the Ritva says, yeah, because that's a Tainus for any kind of tshuva. You don't really have to do it on Shabbos. You chose to do it on Shabbos because the Spirit moved you. Okay, fine. But it's still not right, and therefore you have to make up by fasting another day. Whereas the Gemara and Shabbos and Tainus is talking about Tainus Chalom, where you're really supposed to fast that day. Isaac, question?
Is there a counterpoint to it? What about if you have a fantastic dream? Are you supposed to celebrate for some
reason? So let's read the Ritva, and then I think you can draw your own conclusions. He hasn't really talked about that, but I think that one can draw certain conclusions.
Another question, if I can.
Yes.
There's a distinction. I mean, there's Tainus Shalom, there's Tainus because you're doing tshuva. Are there different categories of Tainusim? For example, Zayin Adar, you fasted on Zayin Adar because of
yeah, but why are you fasting on Zayin Adar? Why are they fasting on Zayin Adar?
I fast on Zayin Adar, but I recite the names of all the people I did at Tahara on the previous year, just in case I did it wrong. This is my personal opinion.
So that's a Tainus of tshuva you're claiming. But the reason you fast on Zayin Adar, I presume, the Chavah Kadisha, is because you're a people, minag of Litvax, minag of the Shulchan Aruch, the Meramah, is that you fast on a yard site of a parent.
Which I do too.
I understand. So you're fasting for a yard site here.
But it's not tshuva, it's
Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site. You're fasting for the yard site, and the reason the Chavah Kadisha presumably picks that day is because one of the quintessential acts of chesed, and that's tied to Moshe Rabbeinu's death, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kovar Mason. So the Chavah Kadisha are, in effect, in an inverted way, you are the children of Moshe Rabbeinu in a particularly unique way, and you are fasting for his yard site. But a fasting on the yard site, I assume, in principle, where it comes from, is an act of tshuva, because it's a reminder. When a person's yard site for a parent is a reminder of our own mortality, our mortality is a function of chet Adam HaRishon, so I assume it's connected to some type of tshuva, in the same way the Gemara in Moed Katan says that meis echad min ha-chabura yidagu kol ha-chabura, so it's a sense of, you know, chatasi avisi pashati, and this kind of drives it home for me, which in effect is going to be what Tainus Chalom is also about in a parallel way. So I assume All fasting is for tshuva. It's connected in one way. The Yom HaKippur is the quintessential fast related to tshuva. and obviously the Taniyos over the Churban HaMikdash, which are pretty much everything except for Tainus Esther, are over tshuva. And Tainus Esther itself was that's what fasting is about. So Tainus Halom, and a Tainus that the, you know, you saw something, you felt the need to do tshuva, it's a more personal thing, it's not a national thing, but I think all fasting in one way or another comes back to a question of tshuva.
Okay.
Now, a word about the Ritva. I was particularly struck by the Ritva, but not surprised, because of another Ritva that I know. I'm not a bucky in the intellectual history of the Ritva, but I do know that the Ritva, I'm pretty sure, had a significant rationalist streak in him. He was a Talmud of the Ra'ah, not a Talmud of the Rashba. The Rashba was a strong anti-rationalist. The Rashba was really a Talmud of Rabbeinu Yonah, who was an anti-rationalist, as opposed to his Luchut and the Ramban, who was a philosopher capitalist, interestingly enough. So the Ritva, and I know the Ritva has this rationalist tendency because in the somewhat famous Gemara of Tanuro Shalachnoi, and not everybody may know it by that name, but the story of the Bas Kol with Rabbi Eliezer and his dispute and so on. So all those miracles that happen, so I think the Ritva writes in his commentary in Bava Metzia that what happened was a student put his head down in the base medrash to nap, and then he saw visions of this happening, and he reported it to people. That is the quintessential rationalist response to agadas of this kind. So it's not surprising that the Ritva is here. He has a long excursus talking about, and both for halachic reasons as well, what's the business of tainus chalom? Is it really necessary? Is it really obligatory? Now, there is one context in which we don't fast tainus chalom, but we do sort of come very close to mentioning it. There's one place that we deal with bad dreams in our liturgy. Anyone know where that is?
When we do on Erev Rosh Hashanah,
Ram, that's correct. Birchas Kohanim. I don't say it, you know, it's a Litvish thing not to say it because it's an interruption, but as a kid I always said it. In the Siddurim, there's a the first two brachos of a Birchas Kohanim, there's one long thing, and the third one, I don't know if the third one is about Chalom, the first two, Chalom Chalamti, and so on, it's kind of a Hatavas Chalom. In case you had a bad dream or so, that's the time. There's a Gemara. I think the Gemara in Sota probably says, or the Gemara Brachos says, that's a time in which to pray for a dream that looked bad to be turned into good. So again, I don't know what it says about me. I rarely ever remember any dreams. I get to say, I don't know. It could be that it's not, you know, in the same way that the Daniel Kahneman, I think he's the one who writes. In Thinking Fast and Slow, I think that's where he says that, you know, he used to think that politicians are more prone to having affairs because, you know, power, they're drunk on their power, until some point you step back and consider the possibility that maybe you think they have more affairs because news reporters report on those affairs. When most of us have an affair, that's not newsworthy. But when a politician does, that's newsworthy. So, you know, it's a certain kind of selection bias that we have. So I don't know. It sounds like the Gemara that people used to dream so much more. They had much more interesting dreams. And now, but that just could be, you know, because you write about the things that happened, it could be that they dream as little as we do, or it could be that our sleep patterns have been disrupted, so we dream less. But be that as it may, so we do have, you know, some people do sometimes have dreams. Some people freak out over their dreams. Some people, many times the dreams don't make any sense, actually. I see that laughter here. In my family, it's usually Chaviva who will say, I had the weirdest dream last night. But anyway, so the Ritva has to grapple with this particular question. So we could have waited to the ninth parak, but I didn't want to keep Lenny in suspense. So I anticipated his question, and so the Ritva says as follows. Rabbi Yeshua bereid Rabbi Di Ikla, ad amar mechomer amaram, yofa tanus l'chalon keish b'ne'os. Peirush, ap al pi shebidvarim da'alma amu chachamim divrei chalomos lomalon v'lomoridin. Even though ordinarily in halachic matters, anything that a person comes to them in a dream, see a dream, it makes no difference. V'afilu b'zeh sheyesh tzorach hiser. It should certainly be true when it comes to tainus chalom on Shabbos, where regarding a dream with seriousness means you're violating something, you're fasting on Shabbos. Mikomakom, kishabalo his orus bechalom, al inyone atzma. When somebody sees something in a dream on matters affecting him or herself, ro'oi lo lachosh ledavar, you should maybe be worried, you should pay attention, but look at the next line. Imroa atzmo neva menechad, if you're frightened by it. Shezev vadai he'ora min hashamayim hu, this must be a sign that he's being stirred up from heaven in order to engage in introspection over his or her deeds and to do tshuva. One, we might argue that it's also, as Chazal know very well, the things you think about during the day are the things that you dream about at night. The Gemara is going to have this great story where I think it was the emperor who said, what am I going to dream tonight? And Rabbi Yeshua described this crazy thing, some monsters or some equivalent, and the emperor had that dream that night, of course, because he spent the entire day thinking about it. So Chazal were well aware of the connection of our thoughts during the day and the dreams we have at night. So one could say, even without this being, it's our own conscience is speaking to us when we have a dream like that. The Al Haderech Hazeh Amru B'Perek comment in the Dharim. It's an amazing Gemara. The Gemara in the first Perek in the Dharim says, "B'mishin iduhu b'chalom." A person has a dream in which he is being excommunicated. The Gemara says, "Sheyelech lefnei asara detanu hilchasah." He should go in front of 10 talmidei chachamim. V'yakirulo. They should undo the excommunication. They should let him out of cheirim, the cheirim that he only was put in his dream.
V'hatam l'inyan shamarnu ki ha'arahim in ha'shamayim she'osa nistaros v'hayetzarach l'nados. He's done things that, you know, privately, and he knows them, that he's deserving of being excommunicated. O ha'yu niglos, I don't know what he means by that, or they were revealed. O she'osa averos chamuros shenizof ha'shamayim. He's done sin severe enough that, in effect, God has excommunicated. We have this idea we talk about on a Tanis Tzibor. We don't really... Tisha B'Av is our only real Tanis Tzibor, but when they would fast for rain, and those fasts at some point would be like Tisha B'Av, you would not only engage, not do the five inuyim that we have, you would also engage in other practices of avemos. Because someone who is excommunicated, who's a menuda, has been put in Cheren, is actually obligated to observe, he can eat a drink, but obligated to observe many of the laws of avemos. Because an ovel, what it means to be an ovel, I think the Rav probably wrote about it, to be an ovel is to be withdrawn from society. Right? The Rav, I think, speaks about how the stages of avelos correspond to re-entry into society. So the Gemara in the beginning of the third parak of Moed Katan has like a couple of blot where they take like the 15 things that are associated with avelos and they compare ovel, menuda, someone's been excommunicated, and mitzora. All of who have the common denominator of being cast out of society, each for their own reasons. So the Ritva says that the reason why the Gemara Nedarim says you should go and have a 10 people release you from your excommunication, which you were only excommunicated in a dream. And I think some of us, you know this experience sometimes, you had a dream, you wake up, and then you don't remember, you know what happened in the dream, and you can't remember whether it was in the dream or in real life. So this person go, I've had that experience at least, until you finally realize, oh, that was just a dream. I don't mean even things that are frightening, like you just forgot to do something, you left something somewhere, your car was not where you expected to be parked, and so on. I've had that experience. And then you wake up and realize, oh, no, never mind. I couldn't find the car, I was searching on the streets of the city, you know, and I know where I parked it. That was just a dream. So that I don't think anybody needs to fast time as halom for that, but maybe you need to check your car insurance. But anyway, so the point is that the Ritva says it's a sign. The beginning of the... sixth line, Yifash Beish V'Masaf, that will cause introspection. V'Osan Chachamim Yoru Darchei HaTshuva. Those 10 people who have to be Tanu Hilchasa, they have to be Tanu Chachamim, will help instruct him in the manner, in the ways of Tshuva. U'Lefikach, Kol Sheroech Alom Shemachida. If you have a dream that leaves you scared, Ro'i Lo Lis'anos V'Lachso B'Tshuva. It's appropriate to fast and to do Tshuva. The after Shmuel ki hava chazi chelma bisha hava amar hachalamos shav yidaberu. When Shmuel would see a bad dream, he would just get up and pronounce the pasuk hachalamos shav yidaberu. The dreams are speak falsehoods; they're meaningless. Lo liftar atzma mitanis hayu amar kein. He wasn't doing so to exempt himself from having to fast. Elo liftor hachalom letova, but rather to provide a positive spin on the dream. And this is something that comes up a lot in the Gemara in that parak. Shekol hacholomos holchem achar hapeh kidurahata kula soya beperak arawa. That what will happen to dreams is based upon what the interpreter, the interpretation that's offered. There's a story there about Ravan Abaye. There are a lot of life lessons in that story, even if you're not into dreams. Each kept having the same dreams, and they went to the same guy for dream interpretation, except for Rava used to give him a couple of buffs each time, and Rava wouldn't give him anything. And Abaye would always give a positive interpretation, and it happened. And Rava always got a negative interpretation. At the end of the story, Rava discovers this because he sees the guy's book that Kol HaChalomos Holchem Achar Pisron or something like that. He ends up cursing the guy, whatever. We'll get to that tomorrow. You know, if you're really excited about it, you could go ahead and you can check it out. But the point is, there is the idea that Kol HaChalomos Holchem Achar Haper, however it is verbalized, however it's interpreted, which there's a degree of psychological truth in that as well. I like to call those self-fulfilling prophecies. So the Ritva says that the Shmuel was just doing it because he was trying to ameliorate the effects of the dream. As the Gemara says, Aroa kach yomer pasuk ploni kodem shikan memacha. Whenever you wake up, if you saw a word and you're afraid, you should say, if there are two psukim, one which is a good pasuk, one which is a bad pasuk, some of you know the psukim, you should recite the good pasuk. Aval kishelo hayadato mezeh shevis bekach. If Shmuel did not find himself settled, right, if he didn't calm down easily, then he would fast too. Nobody argues on Nobody argues on that statement. There is an idea of Tanis Chalom. But if you don't have other ways of sort of settling yourself, so then you fast. shelo yishaer mimena klum kichalos ha'esh min hana'ores behemer la'ad gemira. So basically, the fast consumes any of the negative effects that the dream would have, and no traces will be left. V'chein b'din shezesh his'or me divrei halomos l'chapes drachav v'lachzor b'tshuva. And it is proper that this person who was stirred up by his dreams to engage in introspection and to do tshuva, benikayon leva v'ruach nediva, l'shem, kemo shehaya osa al pinavi o chacham. So he's doing tshuva in the same way if a navi came to you and said, you need to change what you're doing. A chacham comes to you and gives you a rebuke, you need to change what you're doing. So he responds to the dream in the same way. Ubevadai tshuvaso shlemahi umekubelas yafa. His tshuva will be a complete tshuva, and it will be received. Lefikach amru bo bayom. Why is it so important you fast that day? Kodem shetiskarer dato, before you calm down, you cool down literally. V'yosur pachad libo. In other words, and the fear, like, you know, what happens? The first day you experience something, you're traumatized. When you come the second, I'm not saying everything disappears the second day, but many things that the first day when you woke up seemed overwhelming, you sleep another night, you're fine the next day, you're much calmer. So you don't want that because it will forfeit, it will prevent him from doing that, from being afraid. You want him to do it right then, when the strike will lay iron in his heart. And he will also be very concerned about this dream that was brought upon him from heaven. So when he delays it, when he is cooled down, he won't do tshuva properly. It's laziness also. Even if you're not going to cool down, it's sort of like, here, it's time to do tshuva. Don't say tomorrow. Do it today. So the Rifa continues a little bit later and says, "V'maseches brachos amru, kol hayoshev b'tanis b'shabes, korin lo gizar dino shoshevim shana." So that's our Gemara. But he says, "V'ein b'mashma shetehei amem rahi b'tanis chalom davka." It doesn't appear that the Gemara Brachos is talking about specifically a Tanis Chalom. Midelo Pirshu Hachi. They didn't explain that way. The Ode. The Lo Ad Geru Lo Hacha in Tanis. The Lo Bid Parakama De Shabbos Gabe Hai Memra. Ela B'Tanis Ba'almahu. In other words, the part that like that. The Lesev Tanis on the Tanisa, the Ritva says, is not found in Shabbos or in our Gemara. Now, as you saw, it is found in our Gemara, but obviously not in front of the Ritva, and at least not in some of the manuscripts. A regular tainus, if it's not a tainus chalom, that's where you have to fast. He saw that his desires were overcoming him in all the pleasures of the world. He wants to subjugate his desires. To bring it in a bit. The resin is the thing that you, on an animal, what do you call it? What are the muzzle? The muzzle. The linog hakotze ha'acharon shel inui. He wants to go to one end of the golden means, one extreme, away from the golden mean, as a tikkun. So he wants to go a kotze ha'acharon shel inui ala derech she'amru b'nazir b'maseches nedarim. Right, a nazir who sees a sota b'kukula, so he goes to the opposite extreme. Right, the sota had too much wine, he decides he's going to drink no wine. This, by the way, I do not know medieval philosophy enough to state this with any definitiveness, but this sounds a little bit like the Rambam's. This sounds like Aristotle here. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos talks about, you know, that there in every characteristic there's the middle road and there's an extreme. Sometimes you have to go to an extreme to fix something, but generally the middle road by most character traits is where most people should aim to be. So here he talks about in this case. Something happened that made you think I need to go to the Ketzeh Acharon. The Rotz Lasanos Afilu B'Shabbosos Kishrei Adam Sangin. He wants to fast. He feels this need even on Shabbos. The Efshar Dizelo Hayala Lasos Olachatchila and Bavinimach. It might be that if he came and asked us, you know, what you want to do tshuva, that's great. So wait till after Shabbos to do it. And therefore, Avo Mikomakom. So that's why you have to fast another fast. Avo Mikomakom Kishasa Lekavana Zo Chashuva. l'tshuva gemura v'kor chashuv. When you do it with that purpose, chashuva l'tshuva gemura, it's treated like a complete tshuva, a sincere tshuva. The korin gzardino, they will tear up his petek. Aval amru kishechozim in efrayim imenu bittel oneg shabbos ki mikomakom oneg shabbos shelo kedin bittel v'tzarach alav kapara. This guy who didn't have to fast on Shabbos, he could have waited. So he has to now do tshuva. V'amru shekaparoso d'leisa tanisa letanisa. And that's his kapara. So he says, v'haya nira l'fishita zo, n'davka hasam shelo his'ana b'shus, avo betanis halom shes'ana b'shus. So now the Ritva says, the Gemara in Tainis doesn't say anything about fixing a Tainis halom by fasting again, the Tainis halom on Shabbos. So he thinks what it would be, avo betanis halom shes'ana b'shus, v'isha overes, Ein alav avon asher chata mibnei oneg Shabbos. There's nothing held against him in terms of not doing oneg Shabbos. Ein atzeref lamesav tanisa letanisei. He doesn't have to make a fast for his fast. Vizehu shalo eski rozel in Tainis Chalom. He says that's why the Gemara in Tainis in Shabbos. Leave it out because there's no, when Tainis Chalom is the one fast you can fast on Shabbos, and you don't have to do tashlum, and you don't have to make up. You don't have to make it up by fasting again. Okay. I would jokingly say there are some people today who would say, I could see the Leitz would say, well, no, I have to make it up, so I'll have to have extra little oneg during the week to make up for the oneg dinner on Shabbos. That's not a tikkun. Okay, so the Ritva continues. Avol, despite what he just said, that he thinks that a tainis halom doesn't require a second halom for fasting on Shabbos, he says, nonetheless, avol nagu ol misanos afilu al tainis halom. People, the minhag used to do so. The Efshar Lekayim in Hagam, so the question is why? If he's just established that you're mechuyev to fast on Shabbos, in quotes, to fast on Shabbos, why should you have to do kapar? Why should you need kapar for that? So he says, the Efshar Lekayim in Hagam, she'afal pi she'asa b'shus, kevon she'avonosav gormu lo levata on Shabbos, saruchu kapar. And as yes, you were right to fast, but the fact that you had to fast in the first place is because your sins caused you to have this bad dream to tell you you need to do tshuva, and it's for those sins really that you have to make up. You don't have to fast Sunday. Why should he have to endure these 2 days? I mean, it's 2 days consecutive, but you can eat it night before. It's like Ramadan. Afilu tanish akibo alavu lovo parea. If any fast that you accepted upon yourself already, you're supposed to fast the next day. And yet you can say, I'll make this up. Certainly here, when not to have to do it 2 days in a row. Elias anar b'yom sheyuchal lispal hadabar yosef alotzar gadol. You pick a different day where it's a little bit easier to fast. You shouldn't suffer excessive discomfort. And now, which was the other reason I chose to do this ritva, even though maybe I could have waited, was for the last paragraph. V'hinei nagu miktsas b'nei adam lehisanos b'shabes shebein Rosh Hashanah liyom ha-kipurim im shar aseris yimei tshuva. There are those who have the practice to fast on Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur along with the rest of the aseris yimei tshuva. There is in fact a tradition, it is not common practice, but one is allowed to do so, although I believe if you do it once you're supposed to do it for a lifetime. There are those, the tradition called on the Gaon, to fast on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is not quite Shalosh Regalim. It's not the same thing. There's no simcha recorded in the Torah in that context. Although there is, I don't know if they ate the night in between. I'm not sure what but the answer is yes. The alternative tradition to this actually, and I'm trying to remember where the fourth day comes from, but the minhag we have is we always have at least 4 days of slichos. That is the rule. So when Rosh Hashanah comes out on a Thursday or Shabbos, we start Motzei Shabbos before, and we get either 4 days or 6 days of slichos. When Rosh Hashanah, as in this year, comes out on Monday, or if it comes out on Tuesday, we start the Motzei Shabbos preceding, so we wind up with 7 or 8 days of slichos. Why is there a minimum?
Erev Yom Kippur is the fourth day.
Right. Thank you. That you knew what I was going to say, Rabbi Lukstein. That I'm not impressed by. I'm not surprised by. If you knew what I had forgotten, that I'm impressed by. I didn't finish the sentence. They didn't know what I was thinking, but you know what I was thinking already. Okay. So I was going to say, one of the reasons offered for the 4 days is people would actually fast on the days of Slichos, because they wanted to fast 10 days through the Aseres Yemei. But there were 4 days they couldn't fast. One is first day of Rosh Hashanah. One is second day of Rosh Hashanah. One is Shabbos Shuvah, and I couldn't remember the fourth. Rabbi Lichtenstein said, yes, Erev Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to fast on Erev Yom Kippur. It's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Anyone who eats on Erev Yom Kippur is nisan alav, as if you fasted
Chi and Asirin. That, the fact that it's like you fasted the 9th and the 10th is not enough, Rabbi Lichtenstein, to cover you to this day. So I think in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes that one of the reasons for the 4 days is the 4 days that you want to fast 10 days, you fast the remaining days of Tenshei Yisrei Teshuvah, and you'll fast 4 days before for Rosh Hashanah 1, Rosh Hashanah 2, Shabbat Teshuvah, and Erev Yom HaKippur. Good. So, but nonetheless, there is a tradition that's quoted in the Gaon that says it's mutter to fast on Rosh Hashanah. They say that if you do it once, you're mechuyev to do it for a lifetime. So, he writes, "Minei nagu mitzas b'nei adam l'sanos b'shabbos shebein Rosh Hashanah liyom HaKippur im sh'ar aseres yimei tshuva v'hayonirish sh'lalasus kein l'chatchila sh'lalitiru kein l'asus el b'tanis chalom." His position is that you're only allowed to fast on Shabbos l'chatchila for b'tanis chalom. All other tani yosef tshuva, you wait till some other time to do it.
Wasn't that the whole point of this rifa? Correct, and that's why it actually says
that if you were to come and ask, we would probably tell you don't do it on Shabbos.
I think it's a good thing to do on Shabbos.
If you did it, so then it's effective. But you could look back at his language. He says, Go in the second to last paragraph. And in the previous paragraph, he said, the full line, if he had come and asked us, we would tell him not to do it. So look, he fasted, l'shem shamayim, he fasted and suffered because other people were eating, so he will get his gzar din torn up. But he really shouldn't have done it.
Very strange thing that you shouldn't do it, and if you do it, you get the most amazing side you can ever imagine.
So, it doesn't mean if he fasted L'Shem Shemayim during the week, he wouldn't get the Gzar Din torn up either. Now, well, you know, he might only get a Gzar Din of 68 years torn up. I don't know. So he says, really they shouldn't. Elisha Samchol Adas Samafarshim Salsha Pirshu Hasam, the Maidam Rina Hayoshi Bitanis Bishabas, Hainu Hayoshi Birushus. They're reading it as that it is a good thing. Shafilu hachi, and nonetheless, leisav tanisa l'tanisa kedera sh'amrula inin tanis chalom, which you're mechuyev to fast the tanis chalom. And still, they say you have to make it up. So for the other shita, not the Ritva's reading of the Gemara, all tanis are the same. And just as you're allowed to fast the tanis chalom, if you came and asked us, we would say, yes, fast the tanis chalom today on Shabbos. So too, if you feel moved to fast the other fast, we wouldn't tell you not to do it. So that's maybe why they do it. For Aflafi Shitasenu, Yesh Lomar Ki Aseres Yimei Teshuva Hashem Zman Hadin. Maybe even according to my Shita, says the Ritva, Aseres Yimei Teshuva is the time of Din, Vat Shuva Yafa Behem Bishol Veres. Shuva is very important at that time. It's a Shol Veres. The time's going to pass, and the opportunity won't be there. So Kitayin is Chalomu. Shemutal Nisan Speshabas Afil Lechatchila. And he says on this one, V'lo Nagu Bezen Lemesav Tanisa Letanisa. So he says, on this one, ironically, they don't fast a tainus to replace it. If you fast the days, the Shabbos of Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, those who had the practice, they would not fast a day to make up for that. Now, the truth is, I think there's an argument to be made. It's not, and this could be a very, very long, extensive discussion in its own right, which is not going to do this now, nor am I prepared to do it now, but which is it worse to fast on, Shabbos or Rosh Hashanah? Which is it worse to fast on, Shabbos or Yom Tov? I would think it's worse to fast on Yom Tov. I would think Yom Tov is worse. There's a mitzvah, the rice of Samach b'chagecha. Oneg Shabbos is a mitzvah midirei Kabbalah. But Simchas Yom Tov, which is a son to be Achil and Shia, is a mitzvah midiraisa. So to the extent that Rosh Hashanah has aspects, you know, if you look at I told you there's no mitzvah of simcha, except that on Rosh Hashanah, there's only one time the celebration of Rosh Hashanah that I know of is mentioned in Tanakh, it's in the book of Ezra Nehemiah, where he told them to go to their houses, you know, achlu, madanim ushisu mamtakim, ki kadosh hayo ladonenu, ba'al peyatzavu, ki chedvas Hashem hima uschem. So that pasuk, where he told them to go eat, drink, and be merry, effectively on Rosh Hashanah, so suggests that there really is such an element. So if we are comfortable saying that you can fast on Rosh Hashanah, then fasting on Shabbos Shuvah shouldn't be any more difficult of a mountain to climb than that. That's what I would think. It's true. It's not in the Torah, you know, v'samachta b'chagecha. B'chagecha is the shalosh regalim, but nonetheless, it's clear that would be like a mitzvah midrash kabbalah, at least, of eating and drinking on Rosh Hashanah. So if we're willing to allow fasting to override that, it would seem that fasting on Shabbos Shavuot should be no different. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch says to conclude this section, Mutal l'sanes b'tzomet. This is in the middle of Hilchos Shabbos. What will be the third chelak of Mishnah Berurah? Mutar l'sanes b'tainis chalom k'nei sheikara gzardino v'tzarech l'sanes b'yom rishon. Mechaber says, like the Rashba and some others, you're supposed to fast on Sunday. K'nei sheizkaper lo mashabitel oneg Shabbos. Then leisiv tanis t'neisa l'tanisei. Yes, and it should be the next day. So if it's too hard, then don't fast on Sunday. You'll use another day to make it up. Okay. We, as a culture, my wife has pointed this out to me, we as a culture do not really relate to fasting. When fasting exists in secular Western culture, it's a way of purifying the body only. It's a detox, we might call it. Whereas, very traditionally, amongst Jews and other people of other faiths, fasting was actually an attempt at purification of the soul. It was a form of tshuva, it was a form of kapara, it was a form of tefillah. I think there's a passage my wife always quotes to me from Sefer Hasidim. I think it's Sefer Hasidim where he tells the young people that if you arrive at a certain place, I may be mixing things up with the spirit I'm getting correctly, you should make sure to send the message that your parents know you arrived safely, because they may be fasting for your safety while you are traveling, which is very dangerous. So I know that there are certain parents that say, call me, text me when you get there. That's the equivalent of it. But I think that even if we also like to say we tell our children drive safely, which is the Princess Bride equivalent of as you wish, and then text me when you get there, which is a new thing only in the era of cell phones. I think that some of us were a little older here. I can look across like depends who, but not everybody. And when we got our licenses, there was no expectation when we got to our destination that we'd let our parents know, because we didn't have the means of letting our parents know. I mean, if we got to a friend's house far away, it was one thing. But anyway, so our response, we're not fasting until our children get to the destination and text us that they got there. But it really, it's also not as dangerous as it once was travel. But people would fast as this was an act of spiritual purification and piety, not about purifying the body. The truth is, they, for the most part, through most of the ages, they had so little food to start with that they didn't need to fast for purifying their body purposes. It was their soul.
Fasting when your son is on the road, it accrues to the merit of your son, and therefore nothing is going to happen.
It's like, in effect,
it's younger, right? Because you want your son to be alive.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I said it's a little bit of a kind of tefillah. Tanis is a set. Tanis, just look in Tanakh, is always coupled with tzedakah. So it is kind of a form of tefillah.
I mean, I think for most of us, I think probably intensity of the temper is because of the day, along with the fast, right? The problem we have, let's say, for those of us who work on a fast day.
Your day is a regular day, correct.
You don't have that spiritual please.
Right.
Even Tisha B'Av, where you have kind of more of it, it's not the same.
Right, because
you don't have an Isha Malacha.
Correct. So one of the things, interestingly enough, so you say that there's no Isha Malacha on Tisha B'Av. There's a minhag, right. But it's not the minhag like you don't turn on lights. It's right. The minhag that I don't go to work and do my stuff. The Gemara does say on the Tanius for the rains, not the first ones, but I think the second set of three, it goes 3-3-7. But I believe it's already the middle three, but if not for sure the last seven, malacha becomes basically prohibited. The only people who can do some work are the shopkeepers who need to sell food to the people at a certain point, and they do it with the door half closed, but people break the fast. Right, so, but malacha... Correct. Absolutely. Without sort of the backdrop, it's much harder. It's much harder.
And obviously, with everything that we have today, even
harder. We are more distracted.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's, I think that's correct. Okay.
I guess Slichos is in other words, incorporating Slichos into those days kind of at least gives you somewhat of a
right. We have Kriyas HaTorah, we have Haftarah, we have all sorts of things that are different, but it's still.
I think to me, Rishli is kind of reflecting directly on that. Right. You know, the Torah reading, you know, maybe the Haftarah, I guess the Torah reading also, but, you know.
Right. No, look, it's hard when you're working.
Moved.
What's that?
We're not always moved by what?
Yeah.
The Torah reading, or, you know.
I think you're correct. Okay. So the Gemara now is going to continue with Rabbi Elazar's Agada. And the Gemara says the following, V'amar Rabbi Elazar, Chana hiticha dvarim klapei mala. Chana spoke insolently towards God. Shenemar, v'tispalel al Hashem. Melamed shehiticha dvarim klapei mala. Because it doesn't say v'tispalel el Hashem, it's v'tispalel al Hashem, as if she's complaining against God. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, now I think this is going to be the last Chana reference in all the Agada. We still have like a block plus of Agada. A lot of interesting stuff. So Rabbi Elazar now says, Eliyahu tiach dvarim klapei mala. Eliyahu spoke instantly challenging God. And when I say speak instantly, it means challenging God's fairness. Shenemar v'atoha sibosa es libam achoranis. Eliyahu and Har HaKarmel, when he's, you know, makes his pronouncement, he's got about to bring the sacrifice, he's calling God. He basically accuses God of being responsible for the Jewish people going astray. He says, Atah, you, Hasiboses Libama, you turn their hearts around. You led them astray. Now, how so? So I presume in this case, that it's because you had all these false prophets floating around, so they listened to them. Amar Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, minayin shechazar HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'hodel el Eliyahu. How do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu eventually acknowledged? Rashi says it came many years later. Benuas levim acherim. How do we know that that God admitted that he was wrong? Kivayochol, if we can say such a thing. They quote a pasuk from Micha, where God says, I will gather in all the lame and all the those who had been dispersed. Va'asher hareosi, those who I had done bad to. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's not necessarily pshat in the pot. I mean, the meaning pshat is not connected to Eliyahu, but God said, I let bad things happen to these people. We might say in Micha that they deserved it. But nonetheless, the Gemara Rabbi Elazar says that this is God's admission that Eliyahu was right, that he bore some degree of responsibility for that. The Gemara will actually... So then the Gemara says the following. Amar Rabbi Chama Brebichin in the top of Lamed Bezim and Aleph. Umale Shalosh Mekoros Halalu Nismotetu Ragleim Shosone Yisrael. If not for these three verses that they're about to quote, there would have been no gaining footing for the enemies of the Jewish people, which is a euphemism. Whenever you see Sone Yisrael in the Gemara, it's something negative being said potentially about the Jewish people. So we would have no chance of survival without these three psukim. The fact that God bears some responsibility for our sinning. The second is Chad Dechsiv, Kinei Kachomer B'yad HaYotzer, Kein Atem B'yadi Beis Yisrael, which you will recognize that from Yirmiyahu, but you will recognize it from the fourth of the Pismonim in the Slichos Yom Kippur night. And as Rashi explains, that in this case, it's not because of God's taking the blame, but because God has the capacity to change us, therefore maybe he doesn't have to destroy us. If he can reshape us like the clay, then maybe he can leave us alive. This is from Yirmiyahu Yecheskel, I think. Yecheskel. God says, I will remove the heart of stone from you and give you a heart of flesh, meaning being malleable, being open to changing. And Brapapa Amar Mehacha Besruchi Etem Mekir Bechem Va'asisi Eis Asher Bechukai Teilechu. He quotes a different pasuk from Yechezkel, which is God says he will place his spirit in us so that we will be able to actually follow his laws. So without this, there would be no possibility of tshuva, of us changing, and therefore we would have no chance of God sort of letting us go. And then in the third one here, the Amar Rabbi Elazar Moshe Hitiach Dvarim Klapei Mala. Moshe spoke instantly towards God. What?
I skipped a line,
I'm sorry. No, I read that. Shenema, Vayispalo Moshe El Hashem, Al Tikri El Hashem, Ela Al Hashem. Shekain, Debei Rabbi Elazar Yaakov, Korin La Alfin Einin La Einin Alfin. This is, I've spoken about this many times, that gutturals were weak, so some people couldn't distinguish between Ayin and Aleph. So Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayispala Moshe,
Al Hashem. He complained to God, and the Gemara will explain where would you get this from? The Bei Rabbi Yana Amrei Nehacha V'di Zahav. It's the last words in the first pasuk of Sefer Dvarim. What does V'di Zahav mean? The Pshat is it's the name of a place, but here the Gemara interprets Amri the Bei Rabbi Yana Kach Amar Moshe Lehefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam B'Shvil Kesef Esahav Sheshpat Alehem Yisrael Ad She'amru Dai. Who garam shesas ego? It's your fault, God. You know why the Jewish people made the ego? Because you gave them all this material bounty. It's your fault. Amri de Bei Rabbi Yana, they say in the school of Rabbi Yana, Ein ari nohe mitoch kupa shel tevin, and mitoch kupa shel basa. And the lion doesn't act up. I don't know exactly how to look at lions. When all he has is the when he has to eat the straw. It's when you fill him with meat and he's sated, that's when he makes trouble. But they usually go to sleep then, but that was their expression. Amar Rabbi Yoshaya, he gives a different version. Mashal la Adam Shahisa lo parak chusha ubalas evarim. It was a very scrawny cow, but it big limbs, but it was scrawny. Hechila kashinim. He fattened it up, made it very, very sated, and then Hasam Iva Ethisbo, and then it started to kick against him. Amar lo mi garam lach lich shetem eva etes bi elakashim shachasicha. I made it really good for you. Now all of a sudden you forget me. And now Amar, in a most famous parable, which I think speaks volumes to every society, including our own and the choices we make. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mashal adam echad shaher lo bein. A man had a son. Hirchitzo, he bathed him, so he's all clean, spiffy. V'sacho, anointed him. V'achilo v'hishko, he fed him, he gave him to drink. Vitala lo kis al tzavaro, and he hung a purse on his neck. V'hoshivu al pesach shel zonos, and he put him in front of a house of prostitution. Mayase oso habein shelo yecha. How do you expect the child not to sin? The power, this is, there are two components here. There's the component of being totally sated, not having to, I would say, struggle to work hard for something meaningful because you've achieved everything, and an environment that's set up is a recipe for disaster. And to conclude, the Gemara says a couple of other expressions. Amar Rav Acha Breid Rav Huna Amar Rav Sheshes Haynu Da Amar Inshe Mali Krese Zane Bishe. When you fill its stomach, bad things happen. Bad meanim. Bad things come about. Shenemar Kimar Isam Vayispa'u Savu Vayaram Libam. That when they were grazed, when they were shepherded, given to eat, and they were sated, so then they became arrogant. Alkein shechechuni, that's why they have forgotten me. And Rav Nachman Amar Mehocha, they quote three of the four psukim in Dvarim for this. V'ram levavecha v'shachachta as Hashem. V'rabbanan Amar Mehocha, v'achal v'sava v'dashen ufana. That was yesterday's reading. They will eat, be sated, be, I don't know what dashen is, and then ufana edel himachir, and then they turn to other gods. V'ibars Amar Mehocha, next Shabbos is reading, v'yishman yishurun v'yivat. The Jewish people, Yeshurun waxed fat and kicked, as it's translated. This is, as I've said, this is Moshe Rabbeinu's swan. This is his major theme of Sefer Dvarim. There's another time it occurs also in Parshas Vayechanan, over and over, the same thing of excessive material success followed by Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara concludes by stating, Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Minayin Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shechazer Kadosh Baruch Hu Vahodol LaMoshe. God turned around and acknowledged it. Shenemar, I gave them lots of gold, silver and gold, and then they used it for the Baal, which I'll just conclude by stating, those of you who might have caught in the Tshuva Drasha on Thursday night, in my prayer for success in the coming year, I believe that I turned sufficient but not excessive material success for this very reason. Okay. Any questions?